Good evening, everyone, and welcome back. Welcome back to the chamber after a long absence. Good to be back. We recognise that we're on the traditional lands of the Kaurna people. We respect their elders, past and present. I'll let everyone know that there will be an audio recording of the council meeting other than confidential items, and after the minutes are approved, that'll be available to the public. I ask elected members if they can foresee any item on the agenda where they might have a conflict of interest. There being none, we can move on. Would someone like to move that the communications reports be received? Moved, Councillor Telfer, seconded Councillor Masika. All those in favour, raise your hand. Sorry, there's a question before we have a vote. Councillor Hull.
Yeah, there is a question, Mr Mayor, if you don't mind. On page 20, 11th of May, your meeting with the Adelaide Cricket Club.
Yes.
I can only imagine that's in relation to Glandore Oval.
It's in relation to Glandore Oval.
Yep. Given the recent media that we've been subjected to, and the email contact sent to councillors, I'm just wondering if you can give us a bit of a heads up as to where all this is at.
Do you mean the meeting of the 11th of May or the recent media?
You know,
they're not really connected.
Well, you can actually explain to us what the difference is between the 11th of May and what's happening in the media.
Yes, Mr. Damien Kitto from the Adelaide Cricket Club came to have a very very first initial overview meeting of what might happen at the Oval, knowing that the state Labor candidate had pledged $5 million, which I expect to be honoured by the incoming state government. So obviously that brings a whole range of possibilities to redevelopment of the Oval. It was explained to Mr. Kitto that council has decided to come up with a precinct plan for that site that'll be in our four-year plan for the essentially the next council term, and that there is no doubt that the cricket club and many others will be consulted about what should go into that plan. So it was at that high level. In relation to the more recent media, I'm advised that apart from the fact that the resident complaining bought a house next to a cricket oval, a football oval, that there had been engagement in the sense of a letterbox drop to all surrounding residents, including that resident. They may not remember it. I'm not going to say that they're wrong, that they can't remember it. But certainly a letterbox drop regarding the lights, etc., was organised and we believe carried out. In relation to the particular offensive lights, and bearing in mind that the Oval already had lights, this is replacement lights, which bother the resident, I'm advised that the brightness would have increased, but because they are the latest model lights, the direction of the lights is better focused, and therefore there should be less light spill onto adjoining properties. And also the position of the particular offending post had been moved as a result of representations from that particular resident. So probably all that can be done for that particular resident has been done while still securing adequate night lighting for sport on the Oval. Go on.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. On page 21, on the 4th of April, Mr. Lyons and Mr. Harrison and Mr. Della Coombs, it was a top level meeting, obviously, in regards to One Diagonal Way, and obviously the corner of Dwyer Road and One Diagonal Way. Given it was a top level meeting, as a ward councillor, I've got no idea what that's about now. Rather than taking up time tonight, I'm just wondering whether the staff could find it within them to actually brief the ward councillor on what that top-level meeting was all about.
And do feel free as a councillor to contact staff, when you get the draft agenda on a Friday, to find out offline what that meeting might have been about, so that unless you feel it's of sufficient gravity that it must be raised in public, you can always simply email or phone one of the staff concerned and find out what that was about. So I'll leave you to do that in the days ahead, and take appropriate action as you wish.
Well, no, you're taking up more time than I am with this particular issue. I just like a
My
yes
point
no.
is that it doesn't even need to be raised. If you have a query, you can ask the appropriate manager when you get the draft agenda.
No, I'd like an indication tonight, that an undertaking that staff will actually follow this up with me.
Mr. Lyons was at the meeting. You're going to follow that up? Mr. Lyons has said yes, he'll do that.
Thank you.
We had a motion to accept the communication reports. I'll put that to the vote again. All those in favour, raise your hand. That is carried unanimously. Thank you. And as I often do, missed the confirmation of the minutes of the last meeting. So would someone like to move confirmation of those minutes? Councillor Hutchinson, seconded Councillor Duncan. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. Now we have a deputation regarding Mitchell Street parking from Mr. Kerry Saul. Mr. Saul, please come forward. We're going to put you right at the front of the meeting here. And as you come up, I'll just tell you, you know you have 5 minutes. I know that you've conveyed some information around to councillors. You'll see a microphone on the dais there. Yes, so please take a seat. And when you're ready to commence, simply press the button in the middle of the microphone and you'll be live and we can all hear you. So please go ahead.
Mayor Hannah, elected members, thank you for this opportunity to address council directly. For those who don't know me, I'm Kerry Saul and I reside at 10A Mitchell Street on the western side of Filmer Street in Glengowrie. I'm the head petitioner in this matter and act on behalf of my fellow residents in the street. Simply, our street is too narrow and is not coping with today's traffic flow and parking needs, as is highlighted in the engineer's report attached to the agenda. If you have a look at the slide there, you can see how narrow the street is, allowing a little bit for the shot where there's a bit of narrowing to fit it onto the slide, but it is a narrow street. Many residents have sat on their car horn in frustration at times to alert local houses that they need some car moves so they can get through the street. The poor traffic flow and the lack of parking availability is having an impact on our everyday well-being. We're seeking your support in approving the proposed solution in the engineer's report attached to the agenda. Every day we suffer driving into and out of our driveways. If I could have the next slide, please. My neighbour one morning panicked during doing four-point turns to get out of her driveway with her rear sensors screaming at her, as that was her words. And as she moved forward, her front sensors screamed at her and she didn't know what to do. She panicked. I happened to be there, so I helped her by turning her car sensors off and standing there and directing her forwards and backwards until she got out. Every day we face the risk of hitting a parked car and in most cases having to do no less than four-point turns to exit our driveways. If we could have the next slide, please. And doing two-point turns to come in, all the time impacting on the traffic flow up and down our street, putting ourselves and others at risk. Very difficult to watch your next slide, if I could, thanks. To watch yourself not to hit a parked car, even though we've got rear cameras and sensors, which help us enormously. But while you're concentrating on not hitting that car, you're not doing too much watching of the street and the flow of a car coming or a pedestrian. We've got insufficient parking spaces and each one of the parking spaces that is there now reduces the road width. As our children are coming of age, the number of cars is increasing, lessening parking availability in Mitchell Street, with the overflow now starting to cause issues in Filmer Street as they seek places to park their vehicles. One young woman in our street works late nights and early mornings, and she is scared for her safety or feared for her safety because she has to park too far away from her residence and is walking in the dark in the early hours of the morning or late at night. Restricted traffic flow is just impacting on the road safety. All vehicles, large and small, have difficulty manoeuvring in a snake-like manner between parked and other moving vehicles under the current signage, which simply says, do not park adjacent other cars in the street. All of us in particular, our more senior residents, we've got five of them over 80, fear emergency vehicles will not have clear and safe access in the road, which will affect their ability to provide critical help in a medical or fire emergency. My wife had to call for an ambulance one night, it was about midnight, and the ambulance drivers, when they came in, said to me, wow, it's a good thing it's midnight because we couldn't get in your driveway because the car's parked opposite and we've blocked the street. Again, it's not what we would desire. I've kept the next slide, if I could, please. And then you see how close those cars get in the next slide. Keep going, keep going. Now that one will hold, that's a video. I'll show you that one in a moment. So as we look at this video, if you could click that video then. If it works, hopefully, there it is. There she goes. This is my neighbour reversing his car out of his driveway. You can see where the vehicles are parked opposite the street. He's a bit slow. And he hasn't deliberately made this awkward. It just is awkward. He's come out at his angle. He's got to go forward and backward. So in closing, thanks again for the opportunity for us to add our voice to the engineer's report and proposed plan contained attached to the agenda. And on behalf of all the residents of Mitchell Street, we just want you to know that we're a friendly and cooperative, harmonious bunch, but we don't want any ill feeling to grow amongst us because of the street issue. We don't want arguments over cars being parked in the wrong place between each neighbour. We're genuine, and we just ask for you to approve and proceed with the proposed solution as in the engineer's report. Thanks again for your time this evening.
Thanks, Mr. Saul. Any factual questions to ask? Not opinions, but factual questions. Councillor Crossland.
Thank you. We've had this situation in our area as well. The solution has been yellow lines so that it keeps the flow of traffic and makes it easy for people reversing out. What was wrong with that solution?
I wasn't involved in a solution on yellow lines. I think that was proposed far earlier, and then they came up with the do not park adjacent signs. But my opinion, I can only give an opinion, the yellow line situation, which side of the street would we yellow line? It then restricts the total availability of parking for visitors.
All right, Councillor Crossland.
But Council might answer more.
Another question.
I was actually thinking of both sides yellow line, so therefore everyone gets a fair go.
But if it was both sides yellow lined, no visitors.
We won't get into that. Just factual questions.
We've got lots of streets with yellow lines on both sides, and I've not heard that being a problem. Yeah. But
Councillor Crossland,
next question is, why do you see Mitchell Park is unique in its solution to the one applied across the rest of council?
Which one are you referring to applied across the rest of the council?
The solution you're asking for hasn't been applied equally or fairly across council, as in if you get this solution, then we'll have to offer it to everybody else.
Well, I don't think that's quite right. I think that would be a point of debate, Councillor Crossland.
All right, well, I'll ask it in a different way. Why would we treat Mitchell Street different to the way we treat other streets?
Well, it would depend if the exact same circumstances applied. We've simply let you or applied and petitioned because we have the issue in our street. We are focused on our street.
All right, let's move on. For councillors' benefit, page 45, halfway down, has got a list of a few other streets where the same treatment's been applied. A factual question, Councillor Hull.
Thank you. In the footage that you provided us, I couldn't help but notice that while cars were trying to manoeuvre, there were plenty of car parks off street that were empty.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one question. The other question I got is, and it's a question that you get asked across metropolitan Adelaide, how many carports and garages are being used for the men's shed, the trophy room, somewhere to watch football, rather than actually for the purpose it was designed for? And is local government absorbing the consequences of that?
Well, Mr. Saul, don't know if you can talk about all of local government, but can you talk about behaviour of people in the street, the availability of off-street car parking, and what people might have done to limit that?
I think the easiest way to answer that is that the people in the street are harmonious. They do work together to overcome different issues at different times. The fact is they might have double garages, they might have single garages. We have development in the street, more driveways, more people per normal width. Usually there'd be one house, now, pardon me, there's two. So there's a growth factor that's in that street. Why are they parked in one spot and not another would depend on the time of day that the film was shot and the photo, because they're random. So it's not as if it's every time, all times looking like that. But the bottom line is most of the time it is. Why are they parked there and not further down the street? It's probably closer to their residence. So they will take the most shortest route out. So I can't give you a conclusive answer on that. People will park where people park unless they're directed to park somewhere else. I mean, I don't know how else to answer that. But the thing is, if that street's too narrow, and it is too narrow, we can't get away from that fact. And it wouldn't matter how many houses are in it, it's too narrow, and wherever you park, you're creating this problem at any one time in time. And I don't know what people have got in their garages, to be honest with you. It's not my position to go in there and check out what they have or have not got. But most people have vehicles in their driveways at the same time as we're having problems in the streets. So in general terms, I would say that most people have their vehicles in their driveways. They've got kids, they've got more cars, they come out into the street. And we have visitors. I mean, everyone has visitors at any one time. They could all come at the one time. But the street's too narrow and you just can't cope with it.
All right. Any follow-up, Councillor Hull? Done. I just have one, which is whether, Mr. Saul, anyone has told you that although council makes individual planning approval decisions, that the zoning, which allows subdivision, is actually a state government jurisdiction.
Yes, I am aware of that. Yeah, so we're not blaming the council for it. We're just faced with an issue with the road.
All right, thank you. Well, you may now take your seat back in the public gallery. Now, it is not obligatory at all, but it is common that we will move items of the agenda up when we have a deputation such as this. So, you may take your seat again, Mr. Saul. Do I have any objection to dealing with the Mitchell Street parking issue? It's on page 43 of the agenda. If not, then, Councillor Valescu? Well, no, I'm just sorting out first if we're happy to move the item. Nobody's objecting, so with leave of the meeting, we'll deal with that item now. As I said, it's on page 43. I'll go to Councillor Clancy if she wishes to move a motion.
Thank you. I'd like to move the motion. If we can just change the wording slightly. There was an error in the financials in the agenda. It's for an... Oh, you've got it there, the addition. Yep, great. Okay. So I'd like to... your support on the first option. Unfortunately, this work was going to happen regardless, but because the petition came to council, it then came to our attention, and then it becomes our decision. If there wasn't a petition, it would have just gone straight ahead like the other works that are already planned. I can note that there's similar works that are already budgeted for and planned in Dover Gardens, Hallett Cove and Trop Park. I think that we continue with the works, and if there is a review of this happening and setting a precedence, that can be addressed at the Asset and Sustainability Committee meeting. And in terms of precedents, which I know that some members are concerned about, there is a threshold. We're not going to do it on any street. There has to be a certain a number of parks available. There's also high density streets where this is not even going to be an option because there's, you know, three or four units or townhouses on a block. So this isn't going to be a precedent where we're going to be doing this on every street, and that threshold can be thrashed out in the ANC committee meeting. Thanks.
Just one question from the chair, Councillor Clancy. At the last time this came before the council, there were councillors concerned about tree removal. What does this current option do in respect of tree removal?
There's no tree removals in the revised plan.
Thank you. Is that seconded, Councillor Blescu?
I'd like to support the motion as well. I think we really need to look at the streets in question. This is a narrow street, and it's been problematic for a while. You know, we caused a bit of a street war when we did suggest several years back or having a yellow line, and that would have also reduced the parking in the street. Having two would have would have not worked. And I think also it is very narrow. Like, I drove down there today and I wouldn't have been able to get past, or maybe just get past, two cars if they're either side, and I've got a little tiny Fiat, so you're not going to get an ambulance down there. And you do have people, especially towards the end as well, who are older, and they want peace of mind that an ambulance can get to them. So just by a few modest changes, you know, a little bit of a yellow line, some indents, we can widen it and just make living there a little bit less stressful for everyone. And yeah, you know, as I said, this is happening in other parts of the city as well. So I don't think it's going to turn into a scourge of indentations across the city that's going to drive us broke.
Just before I go to Councillor Crossland, something I've always encouraged where we have something like option 6 or option Z or whatever in a motion is to have a brief description of which option it is. So could we put partial paved parking in brackets after option 6? If the mover and seconder don't have a problem with that, but it's lifted straight out of the report. This makes it easier for the public to understand. Councillor Crossland.
Just a question for the ward councillors. I can't find the actual bit now, but I thought it was the addition of 3 car parking spaces, maybe 4, I can't find it now in the report. Will that actually make a huge difference in the entire street issue? It seems that it won't make really any difference whatsoever.
I'll leave it for, well, it's a bit. Normally I'd leave it for Councillor Clancy to cover that in her reply. I think that's probably the orderly way to proceed.
It's just that previously when I've brought motions, I've had 5 or 6 questions thrown at me and you've allowed those. Why is this different?
Very well. Councillor Valescu would like to answer it.
Requirement, but also it'll provide the width in the road, and that's probably the most important thing. The options of having a yellow line or having more yellow lines without the indent isn't going to give the width and the extra parking spots, so that's why this is a superior option.
I'd like to ask one of the council managers to come forward and have a go at that question as well. I don't know if there are more technical aspects to it or not. While Mr. Allen's coming forward, normally I would. There's a question from Councillor Hull, is it?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, just like the motion clarified, in my notes here, it says 17,500.
So that in the discussion earlier, Councillor, apart from an email today, it was stated that it is only an additional 5,000. So the wrong amount was put in the agenda, and that was corrected when the councillor moved the motion. So the one on the screen is the motion that you are to consider.
Right. And just one last question, particularly with our staff member up here, if he could give council some reflection on this problem in a citywide sense, like just concisely, it's not just confined to Mitchell Street, Glengowrie. Councillor Pryor and I have certainly had a number of streets that we've had this
all
very
right.
issue.
So. Two questions, Mr. Allen. One being, how does this particular change as proposed assist with the parking problem in the street? And secondly, reflections on this sort of problem in the city generally.
Thank you, through the chair. There's approximately 400 streets that are narrower than our standard of 7.2 metres wide. When concerns are raised either through the elected members or residents about on-street parking, we undertake an assessment to analyse the number of cars parked, and we have a threshold. So when there's 85% occupancy, that triggers a threshold to undertake a further investigation. We do consider other options in our investigation, including parking controls, like has been referred to previously in the meeting, and also indented and paved parking controls. So you can see in next year's annual business plan, we have identified three projects of similar nature where there is a narrow road and there is high demand for parking.
Thank you. And there was a question right at the outset about yellow lines, which are included in this proposal. Can you just explain how they assist?
So through the chair, the paved parking as well as the yellow line treatment will provide enough offset for vehicles to travel safely along the road, allowing 3 metre clearance between parked vehicles and a vehicle travelling down the street.
All right. So I hope, Councillor, follow-up question, Councillor Hull, that would be three.
The trees, is there an exclusion zone? Has the arborist assessed that in terms of the exclusion zone for the roots of the trees?
Through the chair, yes, they have. Normally they highlight that if you are using a impervious surface, you must be around a metre away from the base of the tree. But the option we're putting forward in option six uses permeable paving. So it means you can go a little bit closer. So that permeability does help the tree roots. So you can go up to half a metre up to the tree, which will allow for a bit more parking space to occur.
Thank you, Mr. Lundborg. All right. Anyone to speak against as such? Yes, Councillor Crossland.
Look, I'll speak against. I hate to keep voting in favour of squeaky wheels. This is coming to the asset and sustainability, as Councillor Clancy has already mentioned. We've realised that this is a competing where we want trees, we want environmental outcomes, we want streetscapes, but at the same time, we've got competing need with residents wanting more and more car parking, which is going to get worse as we get more high development that we don't want, but it's imposed upon us. And we always say we're a council that puts environment, climate change first, and we're trying to put people out of driving cars, but at the same time, we go and build more car parks and prevent trees being planted and prevent green vergers. I just think we're sending mixed messages. We need to decide which we want to do more than the other. And this council historically has put environmental concerns and public amenity first. And this really says that we're going completely against that.
Any others in favour? If not, then in favour of the proposal?
Yes, Council. It might surprise you, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, Councillor Hull, go ahead.
We're talking about $5,000, but I'd like to point out that Councillor Crosland is not entirely wrong. Now, this is a small area, $5,000. It's equivalent to the ward councillor's quarterly allowance. So that's the sort of money we're talking about. But I am concerned about losing reserve space. So Vinnell Street's a great example where we're losing a chunk of that for car parking for the same reason, exactly the same reason. And this gets back to somewhere where we probably should go, Mr. Mayor. Holdfast Bay councillors have moved to write to the state government to seek a change to the development code, because the development code is what's causing this. I represented this ward in Glengarry for many years, never had any concerns, but obviously things have changed. There's more development, more cars, and inherently we have the pushback from the community about wanting somewhere to park their car and streets getting clogged up, you can't get the garbage truck through, all of that stuff. So I put this council on notice that I would like to see us emulate Holfast Bay and seek a change to the development code so we don't have this continual failures in our street, because that's what it is. You know, it's not good for our environment. It's not good for anything. It's not even good for the crime rate, because more cars that are on the street are more likely to be broken into or stolen. So for the sake of $5,000, members, the trees are going to be protected. I think that was the clincher for me. The trees will remain. The tree exclusion zone is in place to protect the roots. But if Councillor Pryor and I come back to this place with a similar problem, I would expect that the same courtesy would be provided to the residents of Dover Gardens and Seacombe Gardens as well, because that's the hotspot in the past. So
thank you, Councillor. Your time is up.
Thank you.
Now, unless it's a point of order, Councillor Crossland, you have no right to speak at this point.
I'm not sure it's a point of order. I wanted the confirmation, because there's now confusion in the way that's written. And I believe that Councillor Hall has got the wrong figure, that he believes the total cost is 5,000. I'd like that confirmed.
The motion is for an additional 5,000. Isn't that right? I'll just ask Mr. Allen to clarify, but the additional funding of 5,000 beyond what's in existing budget is the correct motion. Mr. Allen?
Through the chair, the motion is correct. For clarification, the total cost of the project is $28,000. We have $23,000 allocated this financial year, and we'll use our carryover process to allocate it into next financial year.
All right. Any others against the motion? Then it is up to Councillor Clancy for concluding remarks.
I don't have anything further to add. Thank you.
Thank you. Then we proceed to a vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand. All those against, raise your hand. The motion is carried. Thank you. A division is called, so we have a formal vote. Those who are in favour, please stand. This is not like doing it online, is it? Those in favour are Councillors Valescu, Masika, Clancy, Telfer, Hutchinson, Schilling and Duncan. You may sit down. Those against are Councillors Pryor, Hull and Crossland. The motion is carried. So, Mr. Saul, you can tell that to whoever you like, and the minutes will be available in a few days, and indeed Council will write to you confirming that result. You don't have to stay for the next few hours, but you're quite welcome to. Apart from the fact we are soon to move into confidential items anyway, but first of all, members, page 25, there are non-confidential minutes of the Review and Selection Committee and the Planning and Development Committee. Would someone like to move? Councillor Schilling moves. They be confirmed. Councillor Duncan seconds. If nothing else, I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour, carried unanimously. Thank you. And now we go to confidential items. Would somebody like to move the three cover reports, pages 40 to 42, en bloc, on the basis that there are indeed matters which should be confidential in the discussion, and then we can decide what gets put in minutes and reports. Councillor Crossland so moves en bloc. That's seconded. Councillor Duncan. I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour? That is carried unanimously. So, councillors, we've had discussions about delivery of frozen meals. You have an option in front of you so that staff are comforted by, you know, the backing of council with this rollout. Do I have someone to move motion? Councillor Masika, thank you. You're moving as printed?
Yes, Your Honour.
Any comment?
No, I would say, look, it's really good and nice to see that the council has been involved to distribute these frozen meals to our seniors who are in need of the support. And according to the administration, they can be able to do those meal distribution by using up the utilizing the resources available without any additional bus.
Thank you. There was a question. I'll take that then.
Mr. Mayor, the frozen meals was part of a COVID response and federal government grant, and rightly so. Gone longer than they thought, I'm sure. But given that the emergency declaration has ended, I'm just wondering, you know, if somebody could tell me from staff how that relates to local government providing meals.
If I could have one of our managers please come forward. I know we're not used to it since we're not online, but if we could have someone come forward. Meanwhile, I will ask for a seconder. Thank you, Councillor Telfer. I'll come back to you in a moment. Ms. Fife, I suppose in a changing COVID environment, what's the future of this program?
Thank you for the question and through the chair. The funding allocation will go through to the end of June 2023. So our commitment would be for the duration of that funding. However, we would expect a transition of those programs to move from in-home through back to the meals within the centres, and would anticipate that will happen either during this financial year or beyond the 30th of June 2023.
So we have the next year to sort of adapt to whatever comes after.
So this is a transition period we're entering.
Will there be?
Sorry, through the chair, we do have full funding for that program to the end of the financial year, to the 30th of June 2023, next financial year. And if we need to make that transition in that period, we will, or it will be a straight changeover.
Thank you. Councillor Telfer, did you wish to add something?
Just to say that this is a very worthwhile program and it needs to go on till the end of its funding. It doesn't appear totally logical why a single vehicle is not used rather than community buses, but it is in the report that that's what is available, and so that's what's going to be used. So I understand that and support it.
Thank you. Anyone speaking against? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Fife. Keep up the good work. All right, page 52, the Centres Zone Adjustment Code Amendment. So this is obviously something that's been through the Planning and Development Committee. We studied all of the little centre zones around the city and came up with little anomalies or uses that could be remedied with a small-scale change to the planning code in those areas. So, Councillor Telfer.
I'll so move. It's good that we had a lens upon all these small places. Some have been set aside or the owners wanted them set aside, but others are going forward for scrutiny.
Councillor Hutchinson, seconded. Question, Councillor Hull, or speaking against?
It's a question, Mr. Mayor. I remember being consulted on this a fair while back, one of which I don't recall, but nevertheless. But now I find that the zones are being broadened. Instead of actually the zones as we know it, the zones are getting bigger. That's a whole different story. And particularly with Hargrove, I've got a sensitive area up there with X convenience, if you know what I mean, Mr. Mayor, which is still unravelling. As you know, there's public consultation coming up again with that. But I would have liked if the staff had at least actually broached this. We have ward briefings and, it's not as if we don't have the opportunity to actually say, well, you know, this is what we've got in mind. And I don't feel fully equipped to vote on this, Mr. Mayor.
Well, it's in your hands if you want to take action on that.
There's a section of the Local Government Act where if a councillor feels they haven't been provided with adequate information, they're not obliged to vote.
Well, if you're in the room, you're obliged to vote. The point is, have you researched it and made inquiries of staff as much as you can before the meeting? If you have and you're still not happy with the responses that you've had from staff, then you could move to defer the item.
It's best to ask the staff whether they feel that they've actually had meaningful engagement with the elected members.
Well, it certainly has. The whole purpose of the Planning and Development Committee is to look at these things. I take your point. There are areas in this report which relate to your ward. Now, it's as to whether there's been adequate interaction with councillors, that's really a question for you to answer, not staff. But if you want to ask any substantive questions of staff about any of these things, then do feel free.
To Mayor, I must admit, you know, sometimes with all of our time constraints, we're all busy people. You actually discover this at the last minute. That's the case with this. But
I remind you then, if you want to move to defer it to the next council meeting, you can do so.
Would that be problematic, Mr. Mayor?
Your colleagues will determine that.
No, but you know, is there
in terms of urgency, there is not urgency.
Well, I so move.
All right, moving to defer this to the next meeting. Is there a seconder? Last call. Then the motion to defer lapses for want of a seconder, and we will proceed. Perhaps I could have one of the managers up the front to answer questions, however, because we don't want that opportunity to be lost. So we've got Mr. Della Coombs and Mr. Malhewish. Perhaps if we could, I want to help out Councillor Hull here in particular. The amendment to the Harborough Grove area, that is of course adjacent to the somewhat controversial petrol station to go across the other side of Miller Street. There is a diagram on page 85 of the agenda. Could we have a short briefing on the impact of a change of zone on the petrol station for a start?
Conflict of interest on this matter, but I'll stay in the room.
As a CAP member? Yes, thanks, Councillor Telfer.
Thank you. Through the chair, there is no impact to the zoning of the proposed petrol station, the approved petrol station on the corner of Diagonal Road. The extent of the changes adjacent on Harborough Grove is in line, I guess, with the rest of the code amendment, fairly minor spatial corrections or adjustments to zoning. So in this case, we have a local centre, suburban activity centre zone with some active shops fronting Miller Street. Behind it, several residential dwellings that are clearly residential and not in our estimate to be transitioning to any sort of commercial use, therefore making sense to blend into the remaining general neighbourhood zone surrounding.
Thank you. So it's just worth underlining that the purpose of this particular move out of all of them is to render existing residential properties into a residential zone rather than being included in the suburban activity zone, which is the commercial zone in effect. So the application that was made by the ex-convenience people was made, they had a previous application before zoning changed, but then their successful application was under the Suburban Activity Centre zone, was it? The more recent one, yes. And they've just applied to an amendment, and again, that will be under Suburban Activity Zone. Right. So, I mean, I think that's, because it's a controversial one, it's probably worth highlighting. So I've had a mover and seconder. Councillor Hull?
This extension to the west, who instigated that? Is this a staff initiated, or did you have residents of 51, 53, 55, 57 come to you and ask for that to be rezoned?
Through the chair, yes, that is a staff. If you look at the history of the site, around about 20 years ago, there was some buildings on that land that's currently residential that was part of the centre. The centre itself wasn't trading particularly well, and so that land was actually demolished. That part of the centre was demolished and four houses were put up. What we're trying to do here is just actually give it a zone that represents what's actually on the land itself, and that's residential. So the history of it, yeah.
Mr.
Delacourne.
Sorry, through the chair. And all of these sites and more were discussed at length through workshops with elected members at the Planning Development Committee meetings, a number of them over the course of the past several months. So this was an iterative process. It has had a lot of thought and test put through before making this decision tonight.
And let us also remember that this is then a proposal which goes up to the minister and goes out for consultation. So we're talking about the proposal or the draft at the moment. Councillor Hull?
So the zoning of those houses now is what, where they are now?
Urban activity zone, suburban activity centre zone. In other words, the commercial zone. That's the anomaly that the measure is trying to redress.
Well, why wouldn't you just make it residential?
Is being made residential. So once again, I refer you to page 85, which says, order, which says that the potential rezone is to the general neighbourhood zone. So that would match the surrounding residential area.
Yeah, but you can put a service station alongside it, no problem at all.
Or I think that's a matter for debate. So we've had a mover and seconder already. And question from Councillor Masika. This is, you're actually closing the debate, aren't you? No? So, beg your pardon, it's Councillor Telfer. Councillor Masika, go ahead.
Thanks, Your Worship. I remember during the committee meeting, we raised an address to be considered on Towers Terrace, Edwardstown, on the corner of Wright Street and Towers Terrace. There's a group of buildings, and the services are being closing down, and we thought if it can be considered. So I don't see the address here. Oh, I want to know whether it was followed up and what was the outcome in the conversation with the business owners.
Thank you for the question. Through the chair, in our staff workshops, we did consider that property and look through it, and for a range of reasons decided not to put it up for any changes at this point in time.
So is it an anomaly that it doesn't appear in our list on page 55, or it never even got to being to the consultation phase?
The chair, it was actually discussed. It was actually on a longer list when we started, but it weaned itself off of the list for various reasons.
All right, understood. Councillor Masika, are you happy to move on?
Yes.
All right. It's been moved and seconded. Anyone speaking against? Then I will put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? Carried by majority. Thank you. Thanks, Mr. Delacombe. Thanks, Mr. Mulhewish. Now, on to page 89. Consultation in relation to the ice rink, but obviously there are legalities described in the report. Councillor Telfer?
I would like to move this recommendation, the recommendation to look at the community land management agreement and to allow it to go out to community engagement, but not revocation. It's just a reforming of that land management plan. And also at the same time, number two, the community engagement to do with the lease, the length of the lease for feedback. And then both those reports are going to come back to us and we can have a look at that. This doesn't resile in any way from the motions that we had prior that say that the residents are not to be impacted upon, the ones that are to the north of this plan. So I am very pleased to think that we are going to community engagement on these two facts and that we will have material to look at very soon.
Thank you. Seconded Councillor Hutchinson. No further comment. Anyone speaking against or a question? Councillor Hull.
Mr. Mayor, just a request that going forward, given that an eighth or so of the distribution area is actually in my ward, if we can be kept abreast of developments, because they're going to get letterboxed, they may well contact us.
Yes, relevant staff are in the gallery, so I'm sure they'll note that and notify accordingly. Thank you. If there's no opposition, I'll certainly put that to the vote. All those in favour? All those against? Carried by majority. And so we go to page 117, Capella Reserve Opportunities. Basically, spending a little bit of extra money. Who would like to move accordingly? Councillor Crossland.
Thank you, Worship. I'd also like to consider a change in the amount to 65,000. So instead of 0.2, saying 35,000 to 65,000. And if I may, go ahead with reasons, or do you want to?
Yeah, no, please do, but I'll ask for management to come forward to answer any questions as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Worship. Look, this project, like all others at the moment, has been increasing in cost. As mentioned in the report, myself and Councillor Gard have started removing items from the overall project to try and keep it within the initial budget. All those items at the moment, I'm happy to keep out. The one that I hadn't realised and would like to be put back in is the removal of the Casuarina glauca trees. The reason for that is, for those who don't know the site, around the edge of the oval, which is not really on any of those pictures, is a huge amount of trees which completely blocks vision from the oval to the new skate park and also prevents natural visibility from the Capella Drive Road itself, from houses and anyone walking by. And unfortunately, that could lead to vandalism. It is probably one of the highest vandalism sites in Hallett Cove, and I recently saw the damage done at Dwyer Street and realised that this potentially could be something that would happen at Hallett Cove if we didn't improve the visibility there. So that's probably one of the steps too far for me, that I don't want that not to happen and then get a new asset damaged. I think the investment now, rather than in a year's time, is actually worth moving ahead. So I'll ask members to consider that that item of the project is added back in now rather than later.
Councillor Crossland, I want to help you out, of course.
Of course.
Because I think you may wish to make an improvement to the wording. At the moment, it reads as if you're, instead of the plastic composite steps to improve access, you're going to have them gold plated by doubling the amount for the steps.
Yes,
so I humbly suggest to you that we add a separate clause, change that one back to 35,000, And then the third one would, clause three, would endorses an allocation of $30,000 to remove glauca trees.
Trees.
Keeping it shorthand. Yeah, management happy with that?
21-22.
In 2021-2022, same as the previous. All right, so Councillor Crossland, you happy with that?
I am happy, and thank you very much for the additional wording. That makes a lot more sense.
Is that seconded? Councillor Masika, thank you. Did you wish to speak to it? Anyone speaking against? Question, Councillor Schilling.
Just a question with regards, I did speak to Councillor Crossland about this, but I'd just like to get some answers from staff. It refers to the steps being delivered in 21-22. We've only got 6 weeks left. Are we going to be able to do that?
Ms. Travers?
Through the Mayor, yes, it is a tight time frame, but we do want to try and achieve the steps in time for the opening of the reserve, which is our preference. It will be tight close to the end of financial year. If we don't have the money this year, though, we'll have to wait and we won't be able to order them until the 1st of July, which will then push out the upgrade of those steps to August, September. So we have advice from the contractor that they'll be able to commence construction, which is 8 days, in the last week of June. So we are looking to progress that then.
Just thanks, Ms. Lidico. Yes, Councillor Schilling.
Follow up to that one. I'm assuming that if, obviously, if this motion is supported, you get the money, you can order the steps. If they can't be built by 30th of June, it'll just work over in our carryover process.
Thank you. And I do note that the carryovers in open space are relatively low. So that might be forgiven when we get to 30th of June. Any other questions, Councillor Hull?
For Councillor Crossland, could this possibly incorporate an extra flagpole at the memorial in Hallett Cove as well? I understand it's laying on the ground down at the depot. Is that a possibility?
The question is irrelevant and therefore out of order.
Oh.
It's an issue that you can take up at another time. Feel free to do so. Any other questions? Then no one's speaking against, so I'll simply put it to the vote. All those in favour, that's carried unanimously. Thank you. And thank you to staff for their efforts. I go to the third budget review. Just ask if there are any questions. Page 122. Yes, we need to deal with that separately. Councillor Telfer?
I think it's probably me, but I'm struggling with the brackets. And it says that we start with a surplus of 422. We add on 916. We take off 132. That doesn't add up to 783. And also, I don't understand the 90,000 at the end of that report review adjustments, which is not in the additions.
Generally, the brackets would be a negative, but I'll leave it to Barnwell to explain.
Surplus is in brackets.
Thank you, through the chair. Yeah, you're quite right, and I apologise because the wording surplus shouldn't be in brackets, should be deficit in brackets. That issue is a deficit for second budget review. We adopted a deficit position as we adopted the budget for 21-22 of 681,000. And what this budget review has revealed is a net worsening from the BR2 position, budget review 2 position of 90,000, bringing our revised deficit to 512,000, which is still 160,000 less than the adopted budget, which is a good position in this current climate.
I commend Councillor Telfer for her exacting scrutiny of the reports, well picked up. And fortunately, the motion can still stand as it is because that same slip of brackets doesn't seem to be repeated in the actual funding statements, which are what are actually being approved by the resolution.
So I'm happy to so move with the amendments to the report as necessary.
Thank you, Councillor Telfer. Seconded, Councillor Schilling. No further questions. There's a question, Councillor Hull.
Mr. Barnwell, it's been a while since we've actually seen talks of deficits in our budget, and this is the time we live in. I understand that. The question I have for you, even tonight we've seen expenditure come from the floor, $28,000 for car parking and then another $30,000 to remove trees or retain trees, as it might be. Yeah. Are we in a position to continue doing that?
Through the chair, I think just in response to the two items tonight, for instance, we adopted a budget in 21-22 of $681,000, which does give us still scope and capacity to fund the items that were funded in the last report, which is the 30, 35 and 30. But obviously, and we do still have capacity in the 22-23 budget. We're also working through some savings opportunities to try and minimise the cost and the baseline cost in that budget. But obviously with the market and the way it is, and obviously looking at, we're still trying to stake within our parameters, around our budget parameters going forward. So bringing minor amounts of funding, I suppose, is reasonable. It's when we get to those bigger items and we're endorsing a large amounts of money that we really have to look closely at what our budget position is and what our capacity is to fund those budgets. Obviously, we have in our long-term financial plan, we have a net surplus position over the 10 years. We did adopt a deficit budget in 21-22. That was a starting position. So we're actually in an improved position despite the current economic climate we're operating in. So I think we've done well and we're hanging in there to the end of the year. But you're quite right, though. We can't just bring things willy-nilly. If we are adopting a budget, we should be sticking as best we can to that budget. And obviously, if there is items that do need to be funded, we should be looking closely at those and the capacity of the council to actually fund those items going forward. So,
any other questions? If not, then I'll simply move to vote. All those in favour, raise your hand. Carried unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Barnwell. And now we go to the what is commonly mispronounced as the SWARA report, our Waste Resource Authority. Who would like to move the motion as printed? Thank you, Councillor Crossland. Anything further?
Just a few words on this. As you're aware, I'm Council's nominee on the board of SWARA. The highlights for me are the great wins we're having environmentally with the both the composting area and the sorting of recyclables, to put it in layman's terms. The other highlights are reduced gate fees for our council to dispose of the red bin, which actually delivers a considerable saving, which you don't normally see on budget. And I know in our current budget, there was also a payment of, I think it was Mr. Barnwell might be able to confirm it, $365,000 appeared in the budget from SWARA as well, from profits achieved there. For me, it's been very rewarding to see the diversity of that business as it moves away from landfill. And I think we're going to see more great things as we move forward.
Indeed. Seconded, Councillor Hull. Nothing further than question or against, Councillor Pryor?
Yeah, definitely not against. Just a question. There's an item on page 146 at the bottom that I'd like to hear a little more about, if someone can provide, maybe Councillor Crossland. It's the progress of the development of the Circular Economy Park. And I notice it's got a delivery date of 2024, but I kind of like that concept. I'd like to know a little more about it, if there is any more to know.
Councillor Crossland.
Probably give a little bit that there's a business opportunity being explored right now, which is connected to the circular economy. But the other probably more exciting bit of that is SWARA now has an area of land which has the capacity to have further industrial use. And it's the board's ambition to look at innovative recycling businesses that we can support there, and maybe that can actually reuse the products that are coming from the sorting plant and use them back into the economy, hopefully something that councils themselves could buy. What that will be, I don't know at this stage, but that is something we're working on right now.
Very well. Any other questions? All right, I think I can put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. Yes, that's carried unanimously. Thank you. Thanks, Mr. Barnwell. On to page 159. Noting this is not deciding future KPIs. This is just noting the report on KPIs. First, any questions? No? Just checking what you're moving on block, Councillor Hutchinson. Or, sorry, can't hear? I just can't hear.
13, all of 13.
Oh, very well, thank you. Of course, questions can still be asked about any of the above. Before I take questions, I'll just get a seconder. Councillor Pryor, thank you. Councillor Hull, question?
Mr. Mayor, on page 162, staff engagement, this has been a deficit area for our CEO for quite a while, and now I see it's in the green. However, members, if you actually add up the responses and the percentage and divide it by 13, you don't get 83%. You get something like 60.3. And in fact, even if you look at it on face value, you can see that you're hard-pressed to actually get to 83% just looking at it. So I'd like an explanation for the calculations.
Thanks. Ms. Lynch is here. She'll come forward and give you some information about that. But I agree with you, Councillor Hull. On the face of it, if you've only got a couple of figures in the 80s, how does the overall result be 83%? I mean, it's a fair question indeed. Oh, do you want to? You're going to take it, Jess?
There's no way it can be 83.
Aggregate staff responses across 9 different questions for the time period. So it aggregates their average response across all 9 questions. So the figures below don't add up to the figure above. The second part of the KPI, which is the figures below, is the response rate. So that indicates the proportion of staff in each area that responded to the survey in that time period.
So totally different, two totally different sets of figures. That explains it. Councillor Hull?
Just in terms of the response rate, well, is there any relationship between the two, or is it just separate questions?
They really are separate, because one is how many people answered and the second part is what they answered. So there really is no correlation. Council chose to put a 50% bar because we, collectively speaking, I think it's fair to say, wanted meaningful results, so we wanted at least half the people in each unit to answer the question, and we haven't always achieved that, which is a separate issue, trying to get every staff member to answer the question in any given month.
I still struggle with this, that, you know, if these bars coming out don't represent all of our workforce, who have we missed?
They do represent all of the workforce in the different departments, which generally match up to SLT positions, I think you'll find. Now, that tells you how many, what proportion in each business department unit answered the survey. In some, it was under half. In others, it was nearly 90%. But that graph, that bar chart, does not tell you what they said, how happy they were, and happy meaning the answer to 9 different questions. If you want to know what they actually thought, no matter how many people answered it, then you look at the top figure, which is the 83%, which is relatively high.
Okay, now I follow. However, obviously, we're talking about nearly 40% of our staff haven't bothered to contribute to this process at all.
In a handful, in three out of the 13 departments, we didn't get to 50% response rate. And I know that the managers are really encouraging people to do it. Was anything more on that, Ms. Lynch?
Yes.
The aspect of this report is obviously a big improvement.
Thank you. Now, I think I'm still looking for a mover. No, I've got Councillor Hutchinson, Councillor Hull,
Prior.
Very good. So if there's no one speaking against, just ask for any further questions. Councillor Crossland.
Two questions, if I can, Your Worship. They both relate to the debtors list on page 182. In particular, I'm interested in the city property facilities. We've got one debtor for $42,820, if I'm reading that correctly, with the note. Can we find out a bit more about who that is or what that's about?
Yes, indeed. Mr. Barnwell's coming forward.
And the other one, which is a bit strange, we've got an LKCC debt of $118, which is 90 plus days. I'm assuming that that's prior to us handing it over.
So if those two items could be addressed, thanks, the city property and the LKCC.
The city property one still relates to the ex-tenant of the cafe in MCC, which is Culinary Escapades. So still working through that. I'm not sure what the update is on that, but that's still unpaid at this point in time.
It's being pursued without going it's being into pursued, confidential matters. It's being pursued.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. And the 118, I'll have to follow up on that. But that is prior to the heading over to we don't invoice from there anymore.
Thank you. I don't need any other details. Thank you very much.
Councillor Hull, question.
The agile question, and I'm sure I was promised last time that it would be addressed. But for example, the worst case one is on page 178. Our building upgrades. This is akin to our footpaths, our streetscaping. We're coming into the wettest months of the year, and in fact, you know, there's only a couple of months to go, and these are the most substantial expenditure periods that we have. Why is this so when we're rushing towards the end of the year to actually expend the budget we've given you, and it's in the wettest time of the year when it could be more disruptive to doing building works, doing footpaths, doing streetscaping, for example. So I ask again, why do we continually have this habit?
Well, it might be Mr. Barnwell. Mr. Lyons might be able to add something now that he has land and property in his area. Mr. Barnes, do you want to comment?
This year in particular, there's some obviously bidding upgrades, for instance, there is some big projects in there, and there is carryover on the coach restoration project, which is going out to tender late in the year. Obviously, working through those documents and working with the complication of getting those documents in order is something that the actual teams do in the divisions. It's not something we look after, but yeah, I hear you. We shouldn't be coming to the end of the year, and that this is where we have carryovers. Has been a particularly challenging year this year, I think, with the market the way it is, and actually getting people actually on site to do works as well, which has delayed some of these projects. But you know, from my perspective, from a financial perspective, I want to see the works done as much as probably the council members do, and there's obviously circumstances which play into that as to why and how some of those things get delayed.
Yes, so Mr. Barnwell probably asked the same question as Mr. Councillor Hull. But Mr. Lyons, can you comment on the building upgrade lag in particular, and perhaps carryovers in land and property generally?
Through the chair, the chart on the bottom of that page shows quite a deficit for land and property. Sorry, I've confused myself now. For building upgrades, there's a number of areas there that are running behind, and there's no other way to put it, but they are in hand. The coach house is worth about $1 million, and we anticipate, I think, Mr. Barnwell, the entirety of that million to be a carryover at this point. The CCTV is worth about $500,000, and we're just awarding that tender, but it's likely that the vast majority of that $500,000 will be a carryover as well. There is also about $500,000 of building upgrades in this facility, in both furniture and other upgrades, that we have just made a call in conjunction with our executive about how to spend that. And a lot of that is going to be a carryover as well. That doesn't equal the total deficit, but between it all, it's over $2 million of works that will be spent in June and July and August.
So Mr. Lyons, do correct me if I'm wrong, but is that land and property, the building upgrades?
My apologies. Yes, it is. And I thought that was the chart that the members had questioned.
Yes, it was. I just want to make sure I had the right sort of area. Councillor Hull, who wanted to pursue
Mr. Mayor, it's not just land and property. I did refer to footpaths and streetscaping. There's a whole gaggle of them here in a similar position. And members, you might recall that at the beginning of the financial year, this was the same prediction. This is a plan for failure, to actually have the green bars where they are. So...
Point of order, is it, Councillor Valescu? No, you can't do that. Councillor Hull is speaking, so sorry. Wait, you have to wait your turn. Yeah, Councillor Hull?
That's a disruption, Mr. Mayor. I would just like to see us finally get away from this habit of having the expenditure happening right at the end of the year. It's not timely because of the weather patterns, you know, because you can't get stuff done. At the moment, it's pretty dry, but that, you know, it could change in a couple of days. But and then, as Mr. Barnwell says, it contributes to carryovers because, oh, crap, it's the end of the financial year. We can't get work done because it's programmed that way.
Thanks for your contribution. There's always a bit of latitude when we move items on block. It wasn't a disruption in the technical sense because Councillor Valescu was really trying to move a procedural motion when he didn't have the opportunity to do so. That's why I went back to you, Councillor Hull, to continue your contribution. Unless there's anything else, I'll... Councillor Pryor.
Yeah, just a quick one for Mr. Barnwell, please. These graphs are—I don't think I've ever seen one for the complete year. I'd love to see them at the end of the financial year. How did we actually finish? Because in August we get presented with next year's graphs, not this year's graphs. So I'd like to see the complete graphs this year, and then we can query where we are in terms of finances and where we are in terms of carryovers. It should be really clear from those graphs. So I'd love to see those ones.
Yes, through the chair, we're happy to. We will provide those for you this year. I know you've seen that information.
Thank you, Councillor. I know that I can come back to Councillor Valescu for the motion to be put, but I'm hoping there's just one or two more questions. Yeah, Councillor Crossland.
Another question, probably for Mr. Lyons. Just picking up on Councillor Hall's point, even though we haven't ratified next year's budget, it's not been finalised. Is there a reason we can't program in work in, you know, the beginning July, August, September, October, right now, and book that in?
I must say, I thought that's what Mr. Harrison said he was going to do.
Definitely, Councillor, and we are doing that right now. We're actually letting some contracts for next year, so we're slowly getting there. I'd just like to mention that you're not going to get any objection from staff about trying to deliver projects in a year. For context, though, in the 6 years that I've been here, we've had the lowest level of resources at the moment to deliver them at exactly the same time as the highest level of spend. And it's not easy, and we're pushing our people and we're doing our best. But some projects have slipped. They've either slipped through resourcing, or they've slipped because of conscious decisions that it's best to retime or to delay or to wait or to do some further research as well.
All right. If there's nothing more, I'll put those three items on block to the vote. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you very much. And so I think we've got to the end of the agenda. And I can declare the meeting closed at 8:36. Well done, everybody.